What the heck were you feeling limited about? What were you looking for?
Because I was looking for an interpretation of Revelations. I was in a regular church, and any time I ever asked anybody to tell me what Revelations meant, they couldn't tell me. And then I saw that book by Barbara, and then Edgar Cayce also wrote an interpretation of the book of Revelations, about which the main theme is that something's going on with our pineal gland, and that anybody who doesn't have an evolved pineal gland is going to have a lot of pain as these waves, I guess similar to kind of like this theosophist, the seven rays are pulsed at the planet. If you don't have your pineal gland properly evolved, it's going to be really painful and you're not going to make it.
What religion were you at that point before
basic,
you read her?
Basic Christian. I mean, not like fundamental.
Why were you a Christian?
But I was,
how'd you get to be a Christian? You're a pagan.
Raised Catholic.
Oh, you were a Catholic. Oh, that's a good alibi.
And then my mom left the Catholic Church because she thought it was ridiculous that they made seven-year-olds go in the closet and say that they were mean to their little brother.
Right.
And so my mom read a lot of Edgar Cayce, and she kind of set me
up. But you were with Marianne Williamson.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this is before Marianne. This is before Marianne.
This is right before Marianne. It was like 5 years before Marianne.
So you were a Catholic trying to figure out, why did you begin thinking, why do you know what Revelations was?
Because I just was curious. I just couldn't, I just have always been kind of an intellectual snob. I've always enjoyed.
You were a Christian intellectual snob, a Catholic intellectual
right.
snob. That's very
right.
bad. Those are evil
right.
people, those ones.
Well, Marsh
McLuhan was
well,
that.
Well,
he was a Catholic intellectual snob.
Right. And I used to actually just love going up to various clergy and saying, can you explain this to me? And when they couldn't, I was gleeful over their ignorance, yet still curious. And just wanted to know for myself so that when I asked them and they couldn't tell me, perhaps I could tell them.
Okay, hold it. Fix your mic there. Get a little muffled or something.
I wanted to understand the Book of Revelation so that when I would ask someone to explain it to me who couldn't, perhaps I would have some ammunition.
So in your little community, you were on a revenge trip or an aggressive, a passive-aggressive thing. What made your personality
sure.
like that? Were you married?
No, and I was just, I just kind of like that. I've always liked intellectual debate.
Oh, okay.
Especially
so
with men and telling men that they're wrong. I love that.
Ah, okay.
Like, no, not anymore, but I
No, I know, I know, I know. Okay,
I
so you were like this person. And so you fell off the Catholic bandwagon by reading Barbara Marx Harbert. That surprised you.
It did. And I had just moved to Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is really new age and very liberal and open. And there was all kinds of that kind of conversation going on in bars and clubs and like on the scene. And everybody was highly spiritually ambitious, whatever their path.
And this was all strange to you as a Catholic. And this is stuff you'd never heard. Well, you're a Catholic.
You know,
you're happy with your religion.
It really wasn't the Catholicism. That wasn't really a jumping off point. It was more coming from like basic Indiana, Midwestern, nobody was a seeker. Everybody just kind of did what you were supposed to do, middle America, and then winding up in a place that was very...
Why were you in Ann Arbor? Is this when you went to university?
No, it was after. I got a job there, so I just went there to work.
Right, so what happened to you in university? You didn't
Nothing.
Have any
lessons? I couldn't tell you one thing that I learned. I was a literature major, and I couldn't even tell you one class that I took. I have no
so
idea.
You were quite asleep, in the conventional term. You were quite...
Oh, yeah.
Did you have boyfriends? Did you party?
Oh, yeah, and was in a, you know, I was in a sorority, and really popular sorority girl, just...
Oh, this is what Sarah picks up. This is the bitch that Sarah picks up. Your past, your dark past. That she, the sorority person. Oh, yeah, they're
and a cheerleader and all that. Yeah.
Cheerleader, holy! You were so conventional. Were you getting anything out of this?
Nobody didn't know any better.
But you thought you were. You thought you were getting. See, this is. Can people describe when they were asleep? I'd like to hear more details. Can you?
Actually,
like all they say. Well, I didn't know. I was just doing all these things, but you don't remember any of it or vague consciousness about it. But you were doing
actually,
all kinds of things.
I had the thought today. It was ironic because I stumbled upon a picture of me that was taken right around the time that I read the Barbara book. It has been pinned on a thumbtack above our washing machine for who knows how long. Robert pinned it up there. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm just noticing right now that this was exactly around the time when I read the Barbara book. And I had a real sense of having multiple selves. Not that I met a multiple self, but when I looked at that picture, I was like, I do not even know who that person is.
Oh, this
I
is interesting.
Believe.
Maybe you were. Maybe that's partly why people who tune into Ion, they are anomalous and complicated and parallel worlds. Maybe, yeah, maybe that something happened. You went to another world. Yeah, that would explain why you can't remember.
I did supposedly have a walk-in experience. I don't even
when
care
was
to
that?
Necessarily talk about it, right around that time also.
Ah, and that was probably a walk-out. Oh. You left that person that you're looking at the picture of. You didn't walk
in.
You walked out.
Supposedly that person left and another person came. That's the story, but I really don't care.
But that's an old version of the fact. You became another part of your realities took over, or you became a new person. That explains why you don't remember yourself. That actually makes
Although I'm still friends with all of the girls from my sorority, know them all, have contacted them on Facebook as recently as 3 hours ago to post a picture of my knitting or my
and they know you're talking to Bob. They get to see those posts, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
And they're all asleep and they don't listen to them and they don't comment on them, do they?
No. Picture of a mitten that I knit? Absolutely. Picture of a cake that I baked? Absolutely. Kittens? Yes. Bob? No.
But if you do any media, they're not interested in your media communication world, right? If you're trying to tell anybody something, they're not interested in that.
Well, I'm not really trying to tell anybody. So.
No, they don't know, but they think you're trying to tell somebody. Yeah. Look, here I am on the radio. Well, they think that means you're trying to tell somebody something.
I don't even think they see it, to be perfectly honest.
Maybe that's right. This could be a good aspect. Your new self, nobody even sees it from the other world.
Well, when I've talked about over the past couple of weeks feeling like an imposter, and I don't want to digress into talking about myself, but when I feel like an imposter, like Joy Seeker Phil had made a comment, and one other person had made a comment saying that they listened to me say a couple of weeks ago that I felt like I was an imposter, and they said that they identified with the feeling, and then they gave the example where they said that they were like super annoyed with everybody else and didn't want to be in their. That's not the feeling that I have. Whatever they identified with, that is not what I said. What I feel like is I'm sitting there, and it has nothing to do with wanting to engage or not engage with people. I have a feeling of never having been there before. Like every moment, every change in consciousness, it's like I just came into this world fresh, and I know what I'm supposed to do because it's like I inherited the memory from the last time I was in this situation, but I'm meeting everything fresh. And so that's why I feel like I'm an imposter. I feel like I'm in someone else's life.
What, when you're talking to your old friends?
No, everywhere I go, not just my old friends, like every morning when I arrive at work, it's like kind of like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
But then there's an aspect of me that it's like Groundhog Day, but instead of being the same thing over and over again, it's brand spanking new, fresh. I don't know how else to describe it.
And then you go to work, and you feel like you're in another world. You mean the people you see are in another world because they can't change like you. They can't live like you.
And I have all this, I'm in this world, and I'm having my experience, and I'm in my day, and they have no idea what's going on in my head or whatever. And it's like, here's your thing. Here's this thing I just did for you. I laid it all out here. This was completed the task. And like everything that I'm supposed to do in my life requires no energy and takes about 5 minutes. And then I'm back in my own world,
yeah,
showing up enough to, like, keep my job. And they all think I'm working my ass off, but I'm not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, maybe that's part of the RNA drops effect, is that you're super efficient at it and even better at it, so it doesn't take any time.
It takes no effort, and everybody else is freaking out, and I'm like, this is no big deal. No big deal.
Okay,
no big deal.
We're talking too much about you, but it is interesting what you're feeling or what you think you are. So, yes, somehow,
I do remember all that. I just don't know. I can't even comment on whether I was asleep or awake or getting anything out of it or not. It was just my life. And
yeah,
it sounds like you went somewhere else
because I think people can remember what they did and felt like. You can't even remember what you can't even remember the courses you took. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous. So Barbara Marks Hubbard, she seems to be the last gasp of that kind of routine. And they probably will implement some kind of new world order to their specifications and not notice that nobody's paying attention to it. They will be the only ones who have jobs because they aligned with her dogma. And other people won't require jobs. They'll just enjoy their starvation, their homelessness, their bleeding sores because they'll be on the drops.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll be tuned into the new hydrogen without the oxygen. They won't even notice they got bodies.
Right.
So we advocate that. Do we advocate that, Carol? Is that a little extreme? We don't advocate that. That sounds ridiculous.
That never stopped us.
Yeah. Where's Ian? We need guidance. We're starting to lose our bearings here. Talking to one fellow human being. Let's just see. If Ian has dropped,
I have two other little things I want to mention.
Okay,
I'm not
go
about
ahead.
Barbara, but two other quick topics. Number one,
yes.
It was really cool. You were talking with Brian last week all about mosh culture.
Yes.
Well, I didn't listen until the following week, but Sunday morning I got up at 5:00 in the morning to knit and watched a fabulous documentary on Kathleen Hanna called The Punk Singer, and it was about the female mosh culture. And she was a punk singer who advocated for females to be able to participate in that physical moshing and whatnot, but often couldn't because they're smaller in stature and would get hurt. So her whole thing at her concert, she would say, like, girls up in the front, all the girls up in the front, men stay away from the stage because we want to mosh and participate in this culture, and all the boys are making it impossible for us with their violence. And also saying a lot
of. She controlled the moshing, said only girls could do it?
Or they had to be, the girls were in the front so that they had more access to it, because her experience was that at all those concerts, the girls kind of had to stand in the periphery and couldn't really participate. So she wasn't just saying that the guys couldn't do it, but that the girls got first dibs.
Oh, okay. And the girls bounced off each other.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Super interesting documentary, and it was just so cool that I had been looking at that when you and Brian had been talking about it.
Right.
Wanted to thank you again for the Mark Foster the People. I looked at their whole oeuvre this week. Their music is fantastic. They have a lot more electronic stuff than you might be aware of.
Yeah.
You should listen to some of their other sessions. So fantastic. He's such a cool guy. He's 30. He's from Cleveland. It took him 12 years to get a hit, and you might want to listen to the song that put them on the map and got them a record deal. It's called Pumped Up Kicks. I remember hearing it now that I've heard Coming of Age, but it's about a boy named Robert, who finds a gun in his dad's closet, and so it's about school violence. The song was actually banned for a while because people thought that it glamorized Columbine-ish stuff.
Yeah.
So you might want to look at that.
His name is Mark Foster?
Yes.
And so his band is called Foster the People.
Correct. And then he wrote Coming of Age after he got really famous from that Pumped Up Kick song. It's kind of an apology to all the people that he had mistreated when he was riding that wave to fame.
All right. No, I'm glad I like that song. I'm glad you looked into it, liked it, and telling us. Now, I'm going to unmute everybody, and they're going to ask you questions. I want people here to see what they say to what we're talking about and direct it more to you. Let's see if they ask you questions. So we've got Kate the Great.
They're not going to.
No, we don't know. Well, actually,
this
they're all starting to run
well.
Off. They're all starting to leave. But anyway, we've got Kate the Great, Corbin and Lovejob and Allison and Tom somebody and Big Sarah and Little someone in Thousand Oaks. So let's unmute these people.
All participants are now unmuted.
Katie.
All right. Katie, I have a question, Katie.
I don't want
to. Okay.
Did you feel it was unfair that the song got banned? Do you feel like that was okay?
Yeah. No, I thought it was totally unfair and stupid.
Totally unfair.
What song got banned?
It's Foster of the People. I can sing a few lyrics if you want.
A particular song by Foster the People got banned.
Yes, and it says all the other kids with their pumped up kicks better run faster than my bullets, because the song was supposedly inspired by Columbine, where
yes,
Columbine
that's the way you
killers,
were Robert. And you said that became a hit, Kate? Katie?
Yes, overnight. It was just everywhere overnight. It started on the blogs, and then they didn't have a record deal or anything, and then got signed to Columbia because of that song.
And then they got banned. Then the song got banned.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, people, be quiet if you're making noise. Be careful and try to keep it open, but watch your noise factor so we can keep you all here.
Very catchy tune, Bob. Very catchy tune.
All right, well, we'll
fabulous
find it.
Maybe, tune.
What's the name of it? Well, maybe Bill can get it. It's called
Pumped Up Kicks. It's got a minute and a half intro with a great bass line. I love it.
Chicks, C-H-I-C-K-S, Pumped Up Chicks.
No, kicks, okay, like tennis shoes.
Kicks.
Tennis shoes. Pumped Up Kicks.
You mean K-I-C-K-S, kicks?
Correct.
That's the slang term for shoes.
Right, Pumped Up Kicks. Okay, anybody, unless you have something else to say, Youngblood, what about what she's talking about?
Pumped up chicks.
What is she talking about? Can you refresh my memory and I will...
Okay, come on, you're being silly. Okay, anybody else have anything to say?
I'm not being silly.
Yes, you are. You don't even know what she was talking about, so stop distracting.
Well, that's true.
Okay, who wants to speak? Allison, you're here, or your son's here, you speak. Address what's going on.
Thanks. I was on mute. I haven't listened for the last 5 minutes. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hi, Allison. Hi, Katie. That was such a great... I'm glad you asked me to comment, Bob, because it was like, and you even mentioned Sheila and I talking to you, listening to what you were talking about, Katie, was so much about what Bob spent hours talking to Sheila and I about. It was a labor of love.
You mean about the landmark stuff, your landmark career or something?
No, but the whole new age, I think almost everybody Katie talked about. All the people, Neil Donald Walsh, we maybe didn't go over every, I'm going to go off speaker, hold on. Not maybe everybody that she mentioned specifically, but I feel like we talked about all of those people, Katie, and all the avenues that we all went down, and you very succinctly, you know, stated how you got out of it.
Yeah, you guys are all around 50. You're all about the same age. It's like you're generational elders. You know, elders in quotes. They're like you're.
Yeah, I know. I laughed. He said, "Sheila and Allison." This is Sheila and Allison stuff, but it was really true. That was very, very much where when we came on board through the James Martinez, you know, avenue.
Yeah.
You were like, and Bob was so patient, Katie. It was great. He would call us, you know, not on air, and we would talk for hours trying to dissect and disseminate what
all the stuff we learned.
Yeah.
And we already knew we weren't happy with it. We had moved on, but we hadn't had anything replace it yet. And then when Ion came on, that's why it was such an electric light orchestra moment. It was like, oh my God, you know, everything we've heard that we knew was bullshit.
But do you think it prepared you for Ion, though? Like, I don't think I would have been as open to Ion if I hadn't
it
done all
like that
first. Yeah.
No, that didn't prepare it. It was a technology, a meme, and it got tetrated and pushed into its opposite with Ion. You overdid it, and it flipped into its opposite, and Ion was its opposite.
I would totally agree. I think you're exactly right, Katie. It totally prepared us. And Sheila comes from a very Christian background, kind of evangelical. I came from an atheist, or more of what you were talking about, raised as a, well, you said you were raised as a Catholic, but, you know, if you're not a practicing Catholic and your parents defect, it's kind of the same thing. You don't really have any belief system in place.
Right.
But you consider yourself a Protestant of sorts. You know, you were a Catholic,
Allison? You were raised a Catholic?
No, I wasn't. My parents, they were fairly cool for being as madmen as they were.
I thought you were just saying there was something similar. Well, what were you saying was similar?
Well, it was kind of what I heard in Katie's circumstance was she wasn't a practicing Catholic and her parents weren't.
She was. She went to church.
Yeah, but only until I was like 13. Then my mom left in a hop.
Oh, I thought you were doing it as an adult. So what were you doing in college? You weren't going to religion.
Oh, I was going to fraternity parties in college.
Oh, see, I had the wrong image that you were this church attending person. You know, in your 30s.
No, I was wild and crazy partier, and then I was looking for something. I wanted something after that.
So you went back to your church and asked the priest about the revelation.
Correct.
Because
to
your colleagues of your generation were all talking about New Age stuff, okay.
Well, one thing I wanted to say was I kind of was listening to you, Katie, and I was thinking about the intellectual side of this, and I very much resonated with that kind of moment where you want to go in and it was this bizarre dichotomy because the whole New Age system or belief was this, oh, I love you and I include you and I would never override you.
Taking ecstasy? Is that the mood of the raves? Is that, this is the metaphysics of the raves?
No, I think it was
drug-less. We're too old for raves. We're too old for raves.
Well, no, I'm not. Sorry, I'm not. I live in California. But that was another thing I wanted to bring up. I totally appreciated your Michigan upbringing.
Wait. Come on. I'm not getting anything from you, Allison. Stay on topic. What were you saying? Don't switch.
You're right, Bob. I will stay on topic. What was interesting was her whole thing about the New Age view or shtick is basically what it was, that you had this presence.
You had
that
to
you
love
brought,
everybody.
Pretty much, you know, and you were fair and you listened and you were thoughtful and all this stuff. And it was just a ridiculous circumstance because you realized that you were behind the scenes, and this is what I think many of the authors that you're talking about, I know this through Neil Donald Walsh and some of the, and you said it through Marianne, you know, that the craziness behind their image was that they were also going, fuck you idiots, you know.
Well, Mary, you know, and Neil hate each other. They worked together on the Global Renaissance Alliance, and she's like, he's such a fucking bastard. Hi, Neil.
And I had a friend who actually had a radio station, and all of those people had a spot on the radio station, and she was also involved with a lot of them. I don't want to say what her station was, but oh, my God, she would tell me stuff behind the scenes. And it was like when I first heard you talk about Marianne, I was like, oh, my God, I should have known that was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because the same thing occurred with many of the other people we're talking about. I never heard anything about Barbara Marx Hubbard. And it doesn't matter.
No, I've never heard anything about her either. But
it doesn't matter.
So, Allison, you're talking in mid-90s, 20 years ago?
Yes.
See, so the Internet has come in, and people are going to get disconnected. It was sold as connect with everybody, but actually everybody's going to get pissed off at their list they're on and emailing each other, and people become enemies because they screwed up on their email bulletin boards and all that. So then that would make a public meme of everybody being nice and trying to stay connected. I mean, nobody was living that way. They had four bodies, at least four, and they were a quadriphenic anarchist, like you're describing Marianne behind the scenes. But the public meme of acceptability was that you must smooth everything over and make everybody connected. Now, that's because the disconnection was coming in as an environment.
Bob, I didn't see it as a smoothing over to maintain connection. I thought it was exhibiting peacefulness to prove that you were enlightened. If you were godly and nothing could get to you, then you were never irritated.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
I would agree with that. Okay, so then that means you weren't being disturbed by the chaos that was happening online. As everybody emailed each other, got pissed off at each other, the anti-environment is to look calm.
No, you were pretending.
Yeah.
You were pretending not to be affected by it.
Yes, and you had to be not affected because everybody was starting to get affected in a new way they'd never experienced before through the email culture. Because you guys know about how everybody got confused and mad at each other and old friends lost their friendship because they got misinterpreted each other's emails. You remember that, you know?
Right. It's one thing for Gurdjieff to be speaking to a group live and that group, you know, actually understanding what is being said, and it's another thing to have it being disseminated over the internet.
Here, let me just
hello.
Hey, someone's got an environment. Are you aware that you're broadcasting your background, yelling, screaming? Note what you're. Become aware a bit of your medium you're using, and you're broadcasting into other people. Okay,
tell them, Bob.
What, Brian?
I said tell them everybody's unmuted, so mute your own phone if you don't want to talk.
Yeah. And now, so what were you just saying there, Allison? I didn't get that.
I'm just saying that before the internet took over on that, you know, and the way that we disseminated information, you could be watching a guru or somebody that you really believed in and you were hearing this message, and it wasn't the same kind of, I mean, this is McLuhan-esque, it wasn't this kind of gray message that was put out that you didn't, that it was a different experience when you heard it live and you tried to ingest it and then talk to people about it.
Okay, you're describing the old way. What's the new way?
You hear something through the internet. It's very impersonal. You have to decide to make it personal, you know, to whatever you're then.
And
you know,
you'd start typing your response to it?
Yeah, or you'd start reacting to it.
Or even Elsie talking about how Barbara's class is all these modules now. So you're watching these gurus, but it's a recorded talk like a YouTube. So nobody's watching it together. You're watching it at your own computer, and it seems like Ken, Wilbur, and Andrew Cohen
are
addressing the group.
I'm saying that people are interacting. They are typing and emailing each other on the conference call around the email, the video or something.
There was a point you were making, Bob, that was I can't remember what it was. You were talking about something where
I'm saying there's a big difference. Everybody was getting agitated in Web 1.0 by their emailing life. That's what I'm saying. And when you walked around your chemical body, you had to act like you weren't bothered by anything.
But I remember when I first started listening to a lot of the stuff in the mid-90s, I don't think email was, you know, I didn't have an online presence the way I do now. And it was a much more personal kind of, I don't know how to describe the way I reacted
to it. Describe it. Just do it like that. No more vagueness. Describe what you're trying to say. Remember what your life was.
It was. I would hear something from a new author or somebody who just come on.
How would you hear it?
Well, I guess it was mainly through books.
You're reading books.
Yeah. There would be a new book.
Allison, it was before Oprah, too, so we were still finding our own books.
Oh, that's the 80s. I know Oprah's late 80s,
no,
early 90s.
Katie, it was also during Oprah.
Okay.
Same kind of thing, though. That's exactly right, what Katie said, is what we were hearing it through Oprah. So I just realized it was the television that was introducing me to a lot of this stuff, and it was generally through Oprah. It was very specific.
Right.
And I, you know, Gary Zukav, and then and every Oprah was this huge, it was great. I'd hear her, and I'd go, oh, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard, and go buy the book. And then then Sheila and I used to talk about this, and then it was the next one, and it was the next one. But it didn't feel insignificant at the time. It felt great.
You're a mother raising kids, so you have time on your hands, right?
Yes. There are teenagers by then, and yes, correct.
Yes,
I have time
so you're trying to read. So you're reading
and
a lot.
Yes, and I worked for myself, so I was home, and, yeah, I was kind of privileged in that way. I was hearing all the stuff, but I ate every bit of it, like, with a tablespoon, or a cup. It's just, like, everything that was reported on that.
To put a context, what did you think when Lewinsky Gate started? What happened to you?
I remember it well, and that was entertainment.
Okay. And that was got you watching TV a little more?
I happened to be working where we were listening to the radio, so no, it was more of a television thing. I was never kind of voyeuristic the way
a TV thing.
Yeah, it was definitely more TV.
I'm listening to radio, and then you go, it's television thing. You drop the radio. What relevance did that happen in the sentence?
I guess I was thinking of OJ. I was actually working in a place where I couldn't watch the television, so we listened to the broadcast through the radio.
So you didn't get online until after George Bush Jr. got in?
Well, somebody help me. When did we all get online the way we are now? I really don't know.
Well, people started getting online in 95, 96. That was the beginning. Netscape and HTTP and emailing. Now, maybe many suburban people didn't get on until 2000 or 2001. You know, can you remember?
Yeah, remember
what you were
when
doing?
You would ask people, do you have an email? Do you have an email?
I don't remember, but
yeah, you'd be like, oh my God, oh my God. And what's the point to all this?
Never mind, Brian. We don't, no fucking point, okay?
That's great.
The practice noticing your life, and we're trying to get and spell it out clearly.
Okay.
We're trying to respond to Katie.
Okay, well, let me ask Katie a question before Allison and them run down whatever road they're going to run down.
Specifically,
because she's talking about all the books she read about Revelations, all those.
Yeah, we didn't get it. Allison, we never get anywhere with Allison. And I want to give her an opportunity to fucking say something. She's all over the place, and we don't even know what she's trying to say. I know what Katie's saying, and this and that, and we don't know what part of Katie. So quickly,
yeah, but I know what Allison is saying. I know what Allison is saying, and sometimes, Bob, you miss it because we're just connecting as, like, girls, and you're just... You're just not getting it, but it doesn't mean that she's not saying something because I'm getting it.
I don't even know what you just said.
Wanna...
So you're starting to get the fucking disease. Okay. I don't even know. Katie, you didn't make it any clearer. This
Allison
effect
you
is
understood
terrible.
What I was saying, didn't you, Allison?
I did. Thank you, Katie. I did. And my mother will be. You never understand what
were you
I'm saying.
Katie, you weren't saying anything. Allison's been talking. What? Look, what is it? Let's start over again. What are you interested in what Katie said, Allison? Why did you like it?
It was very familiar, Bob. That's all.
What was familiar?
All the steps that she took to get where she is now.
All the gurus.
The disdain,
okay. Yeah.
And the disdain that she has for this for a lot of the new age shit.
But the gurus, we're talking about 20 years ago, you weren't a lot of gurus like she was. And
right.
You think it was more Oprah-oriented, books, reading books, and you weren't emailing. But, and you were acting like, I'm trying to figure out what's common ground here, you were acting unaffected by things. You had a poise. Would this be after the end of the Cold War? Is that the mood? No more war.
Katie mentioned where she would go into arenas in her life, and she would have kind of a one-upmanship for people who didn't understand it the way she did. Or what? I don't know how you said it, Katie.
Exactly.
About being peaceful, Katie, right?
Peaceful and knowing what was going on and having an edge on... You know,
what
like
were you knowing? What was known to be going on?
All about the spiritualization of the planet at the third millennium and how important
that was. Is that what, Allison, that's what you thought you were knowing?
I am. That's what I'm saying. And the thing that's so crazy, Bob, is that what you thought you were understanding and emanating was this peaceful attitude and loving space to include everyone. But there was this underlying current of, you don't know about Barbara Marks Hubbard? Oh, you haven't heard Neil Donald Walsh? You know, there's this twisted kind of meme going on that...
Well, are you feeling superior or you're shocked?
Yes,
either feeling superior. It's either superior or you're shocked they don't. No, or you're shocked they don't know about it.
Oh, no, I'm not shocked they don't know about it. It's more that I want to...
Okay, you're feeling superior. And this is before 2000, this is before the millennium?
Yes.
Katie, this is before the millennium, right?
It's before the millennium.
Yeah, this is before the millennium.
I'm
going to
blame it on that. This is your version of preparing for the millennium.
Yeah,
okay.
And then after the millennium, it just became the Mayan calendar. So it had a...
Right.
It had an edge, and then it had 13 additional years. And it was similar to the way that you say, Bob, that people really try to create an identity with the music that they enjoy. So whatever band you like, and the more obscure and alternative the musician that you enjoy is, the more smug you can be. It was like that with the gurus.
There's
an
identity.
Spiritual consumption. It was
identity.
All right, so here's
spiritual
the pattern.
Identity,
when you get on the internet and start making
and
your own
ambition,
reality. What?
And competitiveness. It was spiritual consumption, ambition, and competitiveness. And
right, now this is a passive state.
Wait, let me finish.
Hey, no. Give you the pattern.
No,
this is a passive state before you become active on the internet. This is the final gasp of passivity before you become a co-creator on emailing and engaging in Web 2.0.
Yeah, because everybody was reading all the same books. I was trying to remember. I think we all joined the book clubs, you know, the spiritual book
one
clubs.
One spirit.
One spirit, yes.
Yeah.
They send, you know, get 5 free books,
spirit, I said, Jesus Christ, can you buy this fucking crap? You had him. I didn't.
I had all these words, and I guess what happened then when the internet came along, we all thought we knew something.
Yeah.
Well, and that parallels the thing that I said, that it's about how we create an identity with music, because remember, it used to be you'd send 10 cents and get like 9 albums. Remember that? And then you had to buy one a month. Then it switched to spiritual books, but it was the same sort of thing. You'd go and look at someone's book collection. You would stand in front of their bookshelf, and everyone had all these books, and they'd be crammed in the shelves, and things would be... Remember that, Allison?
Yeah, and I remember walking through bookstores, I bet, Carolyn, and you remember this too, where I swear they would fall off the shelves in front of me, and I would think it was some cosmic experience, and, you know, I'd now read Twin Souls, and I'd be changed for life. And it was so bizarre to watch how whatever book came across my path seemed to be so huge for that moment.
Oh, my God, when I got my first Seth book by Jane Roberts, a card fell out of the book that Jane Roberts had signed. And I was like the biggest badass around Ann Arbor for like a whole month, because I'd be like, not only did the book fall, but Jane Roberts wrote a card to the previous owner of the book, and it was in there. It was in there.
For Bob, the under... What, Carolyn?
Yeah, in there for me, says Katie.
Oh, right. I was actually... I'll tell you, I still have it laminated, and it's on a magnet at my desk today.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's always under the filter of, it's under this filter, though, of this new age, peaceful, we're all the same, you know, there's no, we're all supposed to be in love with each other filter. So competition really wasn't.
And it was all directed by the printed word, where people saw that such and such a book got sold, so everybody ran off to write their book.
Mm-hmm.
So this commercialism of this these words, you just had to say the right words. I mean, I remember at the time something about someone was writing a book for the farm, maybe it was who wrote Provincial Magazine. I think it was a Provincial Magazine. People wanted to go into publishing books. So they were telling me that they held not encounter groups, but focus groups, where they'd get people and ask them what words triggered them. And they would tell me, they'd ask me to write an article or whatever, and they'd say, you can't use these words because our focus groups say that they don't want to hear about learning something. They don't want to be told that they have to learn something. So you can't use the word learn. I remember that. I mean, it was so planned and programmed that no one realizes it. And it's the same today. It's like when I tell people, well, you know, on Dr. Oz, you have to give him your half your income for the next 2 or 3 years after you're on his show because there's going to be such promotion of your work, and it's all about this commercial aspect.
Or even it makes me think of the plastic bottle thing you mentioned on your show where, you know, somebody was aghast at the fact that when they got your formulas, they came in plastic, you know, and you're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, it's food grade plastic. What else if you were to say to that person, could you look around your house right now and see what else that you have in plastic that you use?
Mm-hmm.
They'd
well,
probably
you
be
know,
completely surprised.
Yeah. I mean, there are people who respond to their environment by running away or by being aggressive. One of my articles just came out in News with Views today, and I get an email from someone saying that I was killing people with magnesium, and the deaths were on my head. Oh, man. And Bob said, are you going to answer him? And I said, I don't think so. I mean, what can you say to a guy that thinks you're already a murderer?
But what's this got to do with the book club 20 years ago? What are you now? Where
we're
are you guys?
It's all programmed. Everything's programmed.
No, that doesn't tell. Tell anything.
I would think
not
Bob
programmed
you could,
anymore, Carol. They want to be programmed. That's what's happening 20 years ago. People all wanted unity. It's like the Harry Potter books. Evergreen said that people want, even Ian said, people want to experience visual space. The unity of visual space was what everybody was nostalgic for. That's the reason you guys are reading the same books.
And now
the other thing I was going to say, the other thing about the books, there was the piece, but where there was the competitive piece that I was talking about was each one of these books had some kind of a process. You had to make the four agreements, or you had to do the presence process, or you had to do some Reiki meditation, or everything I want for my life and myself is now available to me through my participation in the Landmark Forum, and how many seminars have you taken? So there was a competition because it was like, how well are you keeping the four agreements? Uh-oh. You just said something behind her back. You're not supposed to be talking about people, or you didn't go to your Landmark seminar last, or you dropped out of the advanced course, or how many of the you stopped on the Reiki meditation on day 25. You didn't do day 26. You have to start over on day one. Like, it was always like a thing that you had to strive to do.
Well, so the point was you could do it wrong. That's the point that Ion was so different about.
you know, with all those things that we were doing in that New Age phase, which was just another religion as far as I was concerned. It was another Catholicism, another, you could name it, whatever religion you want to pick.
But you could still do drugs and fuck people where there was no morality with it. Like gay people could marry and you could do ayahuasca.
Well,
really appealing to people.
There were a ton of rules. There were so many
now
rules.
That's what's interesting. Okay, so McLuhan said that public ethics took over in the public. You had to have the right opinion. That brought in political correctness. But privately, everybody was an anarchist, and nobody was following the old private morals anymore. So, yes, mm-hmm. this was a public idea that you all shared while your lives were ruthless privately. You know, you fucked your brother and sister, you know, and all this fucking shit was going on all over the place, which would show up in Jerry Springer. And those people didn't read the books. You know, they just acted out the anarchy that you were doing privately, but not telling anybody, because it was important to have on a public sleeve to wear your unity on the sleeve, and you were tolerant of everything. Yeah,
yeah.
The public stance.
Right. That's it, Bob. That's it. Well put.
I think we nailed it. I think we got the pattern here.
You got the pattern.
Yeah, Brian, we got somewhere.
Yeah, we do have a point.
Okay, good. Can I ask my question now?
I don't know. Let's.
Have you all shut your wad yet, or you're still in the middle of your orgasm?
Yeah. Now, remember, while this is going on, Brian is fighting and protecting your country in Iraq, okay? This is what Brian was doing at that time. He was saving your ass.
When was that? That was
a fucking scam.
Oh, yeah.
Any chemical body action was a scam. Okay.
And,
all right.
And Brian, are you the Brian that gave Bob the Foster the People song?
No, that was Kyle. Kyle gave him the song.
Oh, it's Kyle. Oh, okay.
Yes, we all like that song. Okay, so let's vote on Brian's question, whether we want to address it right away, because I want to stay on something here. You know, try to get Allison to learn something. She hasn't learned anything ever yet. She's too busy sidetracking herself. So we're here educating Allison. And we suckered in with she thinks she's like
I was
like
on
Katie.
Mute, sorry.
She thinks she's like Katie, so we suckered in. So, Brian.
Well, let Brian ask Allison the question.
No, let him ask the question
Katie.
He wants to ask.
All okay, I want to ask Katie is she went through this whole thing about she wanted to know what Revelations was about, and she would read books trying to find out about it. She would corner clergymen and priests and blah, and ask them, what the hell does Revelations mean? And nobody could say, I don't know what the fuck it means. But my question is, now that Ion is here, because see, Ion flat out, he'll flat
no,
out
no,
say
Brian,
it.
No, Brian. She did
no.
find out what it meant from fucking Barbara Marx Hubbard.
That's not what I heard her say.
You didn't get that. She, right, Katie? She explained the Revelations.
Enough to make me feel satisfied. I mean, there was a long time that I really did believe her interpretation that I was supposed to, you know, follow Jesus as an evolutionary elder brother. I went to a unity church. That's what that teaches. Even greater things than these will you do, but you do it through Christ. I certainly believed that for a long time, found it very satisfying. I did that Barbara Marx Hubbard communion.
But I hear you saying you believed it for a long time, but is that still the case? No.
In fact, as soon as I finished this topic, I just threw my book away. Like, I just walked over and threw it in the trash can while we're wrapping up here.
Well, can I say one thing, too? Brian?
Was it thrown in the trash can?
The Barbara Marx Hubbard book that we just discussed.
Oh, how long have you had it?
I just reordered it to discuss for the show, so I've only had it like maybe a month.
And you're throwing it away.
Yeah. I already threw away my first copy. That was the second copy that I got because I wanted to re-examine it after 20 years. But, yeah, it's in the trash can right now.
Yeah, so you're going back to your sources. Bob's insights have x-rayed that. You don't require to even think about it anymore. You understand it now.
Oh, yeah, I don't want it cluttering up my house. I don't even want that thought form in my house.
Oh, okay.
No.
So does Allison, did she get into the Allison?
Well, what I was just going to bring up was, to Brian's point, but I don't think this is exactly why he was asking Katie, but I also was attracted to Barbara Marx Hubbard for a completely different reason. I wasn't looking at it through the biblical channel. So I'm coming at it from a totally almost atheistic point of view.
Tell it.
Well, so I am attracted to the same things that Katie's attracted to, but I have no religious background that's pushing me in that direction, which I find kind of interesting. These New Age people, they were appealing to so many of us who wanted some sort of answer, I guess.
Yeah, there was a religious impulse or religious meme, but it wasn't it was the universal, original religion, not the sectarian stuff.
Right. I would never identify with a religion. Oh, my God. You know,
right.
But Brian, you have a...
It was telling you something. It was telling you something, and that's what you felt you knew. You now knew the secret. And the secret cashed in on that later.
But
right?
it was still what Katie said. It was always about something that you had to go outside of yourself to glean from whomever was presenting it. It was somebody else's avenue, you know, Neil Donald Walsh. He talked to God, so he must have some connection that I can tap into that will help me get closer to, I don't even know what, you know, ascending, I guess, is what it was, because ascension became such a big word in that arena, too. But, Brian, does that make any difference as to what you were asking Katie?
Well, I haven't seen it. What I'm getting at is I'm just asking Katie, are you still searching for what Revelations is and what it means? And what I'm going to get to is, here we have Ion who has come forth, and Ion can be whatever Ion is to you, but he makes the statement, say, hey, look, the Bible, Revelation, this is our gig. We know, we don't think about it, we know what it is, we know how it applies. So my question is, if you're still searching or if you still have questions about Revelations, why don't
you
just
carry it with it? I really don't have any questions about anything, and I honestly don't have any questions for Ion, which is why I never stay on when they come. This sounds so terrible, but I just don't care. Like, I love talking to Bob about patterns, but I just like to watch movies and
yeah,
knit.
See, that's
my
interesting.
Chickens, my kids. I have no questions.
Are you afraid of Ion? Is there a fear, or is there?
No, I just feel like I don't have any questions. Like, I know I'm fine.
Okay, well, what questions did you ask the clergyman or the priest that you cornered about Revelations that you wanted to know that they said, well, I can't answer those questions. Do you remember what those questions were?
Mm-mm. No, I don't remember.
Can I say something here, too? One of the reasons I think I drive Brian crazy when we've been on certain phone calls in regards to exactly what you're talking about, where it's, why are you asking what you're asking, Allison? What are you talking about? What is it that you, don't you want to know more? And I'm the same way. I don't know Revelations the way you do, Brian, and I don't have the desire to be inquisitive about it and get the answer.
Hold on. First of all, I never said anything about what I know. I'm only commenting on what Katie's words were. Katie's words were, hey, I wanted to know about Revelation, so I got books, I read about it, I cornered, you know, people in the church and asked them about it, and nobody could answer my questions that I had about Revelations. And all I'm saying is, Ion's here, and this is his gig. So if you have questions or desires to know what this means or what this means and how does this apply, blah, 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 you know, so get in there and ask Ion. But she says she has no questions. Now, you're going to ask me, too, Allison, because you come from the atheist background, right? There is no God. What is that exactly? Is that there is no God or?
Well, no.
Brian, I want to tell you something, Brian.
Okay, tell me, Bob.
Katie got the Ion message somehow. I don't know, some part of it. She didn't do it. I guess, did you get something in chapter 23, Katie? Did you listen to all that?
No, not really. I mean, a little bit. And here's the thing that's ironic about
the
question.
Okay, Katie, you were interested in talking
to
angels? That was the last gasp of your New Age world, talking to angels?
Because I wanted my power, I wanted them to help me.
And you got that one, they got supplement A where you learn how to talk to angels. Okay, Brian, many months ago, I asked Ion cheekily, I said, are any of the Ionettes ascended?
or sending. And Ion said, well, there's one. Who's that? Katie. Now, isn't that interesting? Katie didn't do anything. That's why she's a post-Ionette. She didn't study anything. She didn't listen to anything. She checked out taking her power. I guess she figured out what it meant. She doesn't know anything about it. She doesn't even like talking to Ion. And she's the one who gets the winning class prize. And what does she like doing? Talking to Bob. So that should tell you something, Brian. I didn't even know Katie was that bad that she didn't even listen to anything. I mean, that's incredible.
You would think that I would save up all my money or whatever and, or spend my $600 and get all that revelation. I just, it's not an aversion to it either. I'm just not interested.
We don't know what
Katie
got something from Io, but we don't know what it is, but it worked, and she immediately went to the head of the class.
I'm thrilled for Katie. She's ascending. I am in her same boat as I don't care about, you know, I didn't get revelations either other than 23 in the same supplement. I love listening to Sheila talk about it. I love hearing you, Brian, talk about what you know about it and just what you guys went through. I just don't have the
So you're saying
desire.
you're like Katie Allison?
Yeah. Yeah, we're very similar that way. I wasn't really an atheist, Brian. I guess I am because
Wait a
I never.
Was that not your words? I thought I heard.
No,
you
those
say
were
this.
My words. Those were my words.
Oh, okay.
My interpretation of that. Let me just say it this way. Uh-huh. I never felt like religion was credible. So right. I translated that when we were just talking earlier into being an atheist. I don't know if that.
Oh, so, your definition of I'm an atheist just means I'm not having nothing to do with religion. It doesn't necessarily
correct.
Have to do with if there's a God or not. It's just this religion bullshit is just saying.
Correct.
Not having it. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
All right, fine.
So that's probably a misrepresentation because I think atheists are
well,
very
no,
much
that's fine. As long as you explain
God.
It, you know, then I know what you mean by atheist. Now, somebody else will get on here and they'll have a different definition. That's fine, too, but. Just so I know,
okay.
You know, where you're
yeah.
coming from.
In my context, that's
right.
what I meant. Are you writing all this down? Because you are very good at asking these questions about people. Do you have a
No, I don't write anything down, ever.
Well, anyway.
That's why I call everybody else and ask them, hey, what do you got in your notes? Let's go over your notes so I can get a refresher.
Okay, so we're trying to have Katie sit on the throne here and ask her stuff. Allison, okay, so everybody was trying to be unified 20 years ago, and publicly, what did we say was the cause of it? Everybody was...
You know what it is? It's everybody's always searching. They're constantly searching for something. You can call it whatever what you want. I'm searching for the truth. Well, what's the truth? Well, just I'm searching for what is. What's really going on? Because, you know, like I said,
well, they
it goes
decided
on
their search
on
was over. It became a fad that we found out the answer.
And I have to ask you a question. I don't think that everybody's always searching for something. Do you really? You think everyone is searching for something?
If nothing else, you're searching for more entertainment. You could say, okay, well, this is just entertainment for me. So I'm searching for more entertainment. I'm searching for the, you know, what's the latest, you know, meme out there that everybody's into. Okay, this will be my new entertainment for the month or two or whatever. Or but some people say, you know, okay, I'm looking at the world that I live in, and it's, okay, we're all functioning.
You got a question for Katie, Brian? You got a question for Katie?
I asked Katie my question. She and Katie has no questions, I guess, or no more
questions.
She has
no answer.
She had an answer.
Yeah, she's not interested. Well, what happened to you, Katie, that changed you, thanks to something to do with Ion, that makes you think you're not like you were?
Well, it was really Cambridge where the big change was. I mean, it was gradual from when I first encountered you guys back in March of 2012 or 2013, March of 2013 through Michael's book, Retrieval of Atom Man, and then I listened to a bunch of Ion and then started talking to you a year ago, and then the big change was after Cambridge.
Yeah, but before Cambridge, you were excited about Ion and reading these books. What were you thinking you were getting from there?
I guess it was the last gasp of what I just described was happening with the Barbara Marx Hubbard et al. Stuff. Like, I had pigeonholed and rearview mirrored Ion and thought maybe it was the last thing that I was going to do, and that there was, you know, a lot of activity by listening to the archives. I would, like, print out Ed's information farm list and check off everything that I had listened to. So I was still doing, you know, trying to do Ion the way that I had done the other gurus.
Yeah,
and
so
then,
did study. You just didn't do the revelations, but you did take in a lot of Ion stuff.
Right, and read a shit ton of McLuhan and Thiel and all that kind of stuff. And then really was meeting Carolyn more so even than you, although I really did enjoy, of course, all my talking with you. It was really Carolyn and her saying to me during one of our conversations that the only thing that you, I can't remember exactly what she said, maybe she can remember, I wasn't getting something, and she said, you're not getting it. The only thing that you can ever be is your own God self. And like a light bulb just went off. Carolyn, do you remember exactly what you would have said in that, what that statement would be? It was something like that. And then I just found that I could relax, and I just found that I didn't need anything anymore. And I actually find, and this is not to be unkind, I don't mean to be a bitch, but sometimes when people are talking to Ion, and I hear a whininess in their voice, a whininess for affection from Ion and for Ion to tell them something. Can you help me? Can you help me understand how much magnesium I should take? And I just don't have, like, that feels like fingernails on the chalkboard for me now. Like, I just want to ask myself in every minute what's going to make me really happy to engage and just do that. And I just, everything's just so relaxed. I just finally get that there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. And it's so freeing. Like, to go from all that spiritual ambition to, if I want to sit on my ass and watch 9 movies and knit a bunch of knits and make a cake, that's as valuable as trying to understand some book on quantum physics. It's really amazing.
And where did you get that mindset from? What you just said, there's nothing to do, there's nowhere to go, I can sit around, do whatever.
I mean, I got
that from Ion. Oh, okay.
For sure from Ion. For sure. I mean, everything I got from Ion and Bob and Carolyn. All of it, and the drops.
Yeah, what I remember is we were talking in that crazy restaurant about the presence process and my experience with some of the presence process people, that they were so needy and whiny, and I thought that just made some of them feel less than, and maybe that's when I said, whereas, you know, all Ion is saying, all you can be is your own God self, and why should you need an intermediate person to tell you that?
Yeah.
I think that's what I recall.
And it just all sunk in, and there's something about, two, having so many Ionettes hate me, maybe it wasn't so many, maybe I'm making more about that, but like, listening to Bob read the negative comments that little Sarah had to say about me, when I adore her, she's one of my favorite people that I've met through Iondom, that was quite painful because I thought we were friends, and I still absolutely love her and think that she's hysterical and think that a lot of things that people perceive as mumbling, they're just not hearing what she says, or they don't get it. They just don't get the pattern. I get what she's saying. And so, I could give examples, but I don't really want to get in. I mean, a lot of times she's making sense in a way that I understand that you don't understand, not you, but proverbial, you, whoever's listening, might understand because they just don't get the phrase that she used or the cultural reference that she made. But she did have a point. They just didn't have a context for it. My point is, I thought that I&M was a community for me, too, just like I thought all these other places, the Church of Today where Marianne was a community. The Presence Process group of people that Michael had when he had a Yahoo group, that was a community. But coming away from Cambridge, I realized, too, I mean, just because you're an INET, does it mean you're nice? Does it mean you get it? Does it mean you have your shit together? Does it mean that you can be or have anything that you want, or that you're realizing that you can have anything that you want for your life? So stepping away from wanting to be friends with anybody or wanting to identify as an INET, as a group who's going to come on and say, I love you in the chat room before the show just because you're an INET when I don't even know your name. I just know you're an alias. Like, I was really deluded about that for a while, and Bob set me straight on that. So I'm not looking for community in INET. My community
Wasn't
is here
acceptability,
in my home.
Acceptability? Being acceptable, you know, in every arena. That was the goal, being... For the New Age movement, in a way, you know, everybody's going to laud me for being so great.
Is I'm really, really super comfortable with hatred, with hating things, memes, people, idea, with rejecting things, with not being in forgiveness. I'm really comfortable with that, and Bob gave me that. And that's just so nice.
You know,
isn't that cool?
Well, what I hear you saying, Katie, to me is, and I think this is what sooner or later everybody's going to go through, is you, and I think it's ION, and I think a lot of it is address, but it has, to me it comes down to absolute sovereignty, your very own sovereignty. Mm-hmm. And then once you have it, once you have your sovereignty and it's there, then you go back to, and then you go into the group thing and you can engage, but at the same time, so you don't get sucked into, okay, I'm part of this herd, I gotta do with the herd, blah, blah, fuck that shit. Because you're in your sovereignty, but you can engage in a group dynamic. So I think that's what it is. I mean, it comes down to, each individual grasping that and say, you know what? I'm God. I'm the, as Ion would say, you know, I'm the center of my universe and fuck everybody else and blah, blah, blah. But it's you getting to your own sovereignty. And then once you get that and know it and become it, then, you know, the sky's the limit, so to speak. And you could do, like what you said, you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think that's what Ion is saying to us all the time is, it's, you know, the expansiveness of who you are has nothing to do with this petty little shit that's going on. And once you get past those moments that we held so dear, you know, for how we identified ourselves, that's what's so cool about INM to me is that you can go in and have, as you said, Katie, this experience with Sarah, and you come out of it, and it's not a fait accompli. You know, it's a movement. It's whatever it is. But I am so much bigger than that. They're trying to say, really, you guys, the stuff that you're discussing at these minimal levels seems to be so irrelevant. Let's step it up. Let's get out of it completely, so that we can engage in something so much bigger than we've experienced so far. To me, that's what happens.
When you talk about thatness too, like my sister said to me recently, and I just thought it was one of the sweetest things that anybody's ever said to me. I said, you know, sometimes living in a small town like this, I wonder if I would like it better in a bigger city where there's more culture, more, you know, and listed off a couple of other things. And she said, well, Katie, what I notice about you lately is that you are all those things. So you bring that with you everywhere you go. So why would you ever think about needing to be somewhere else? You are artistic. You are cultured. You are, you know, she started listing off all these things. It was so sweet. She said, you don't need to go anywhere to get all that stuff because you bring it to every situation that you go to. And I believe that's true, too. That's why I feel so comfortable everywhere, because I don't really need anything for the first time ever.
Well, you have access to me, which is the most cultured person around, so that's...
I do.
You can feel cultured. You get access to us and what we associate. Brian, the Mexican... Ian said the Mexican people were just standing there in the city saying to the government the sovereign idea. I'm the center of the scene, and I don't give a fuck what you say. That is actually... What you're saying, Ion teaches, is a mood in the world.
Yeah.
I want to interject. Did you see the thing that I sent you, Bob? It was late today, so you probably didn't. It was a Swedish film, I guess, they did that was kind of an experiment because they wanted to find out if people felt different in a crowd and with support as they did as an individual without support, and I'm kind of minimalizing this, but the thing I sent you was there was a concert that Bob Dylan did for a person. It was only for him, one person. And I thought it was so McLuhan-esque. It was like they're doing a study on are people, you know, do we get a better, do we have a different experience when we're all, you know, like we are in Iandom, we're all discussing this together, as opposed to if you were the way I talk to Ion, you know, by myself, or any of us do. But it was a different experience, and they tried to illuminate this in, I guess, a film. I haven't heard really what the whole scenario is, but as I said, it's Swedish, and one of their examples was having this concert for one person, and the guy, it was funny, he had been a Dylan fan for 20 years.
The key sentence, Allison, you have to tell us, was this concert Dylan offered to contribute to the study? Is that what you're saying?
I guess so, because, yes, he did, because they showed the concert on the tape that I got through email, and I sent it to you. You'll see it probably tomorrow. Yeah, he agreed to do it. It was in Philadelphia. I'm not sure which venue. And this one guy sat there, and Dylan played a show for him.
And what came up?
And it was, what was kind of cool was the guy was totally uncomfortable because he was sitting in the audience by himself. And then when he had to clap, he felt weird. And then the other side of that was he realized that after the show was over, he had no one to share it with. So those were two kind of, I thought.
The study put him down as someone who'd rather be in a crowd.
No, I think the study was trying to give a broader picture of why we do what we do with people and why
we
do kind of
about this guy. What'd they find out from this conclusion?
They found out that he was very moved to being in this scene with Dylan, but that he really missed having the engagement with other people to
all right,
share it
so
with.
The study would get for what from that?
Well, I'm trying to equate it to Iandom.
I'm trying to find out what the study was first. What did they get from that?
Well, the whole study was about that particular thing. Is when you experience something alone, is it different than when you experience it with a crowd? And it totally is.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they in the one instance that I saw, it was not a good outcome, actually, that you were doing it alone. I shouldn't say that. There were some things that were good or perceived as good, but it made me think of McLuhan. I could see McLuhan looking at this and going, well, that's why, you know, it's a media image in a way.
Everything's a media in McLuhan land. Everything's a medium, so
yeah,
it's different.
Yeah.
What did McLuhan get?
Well, I would think he would see it as an interesting study on media, you know, you're sitting in an audience with no one else there.
Says he gets, it's not an injury study. McLuhan gets patterns even from a bad movie. He gets a pattern every time. So what's the pattern he would have gotten from this?
Well, I'm not sure, because you're sitting in an audience.
Americans go out to be alone and go home to be social, but the young kids don't. They're not the traditional Americans.
No, it's the reverse.
They go to be social.
Oh, okay. Well, that's maybe the summation, because the test was, here's a person who's by himself, and it goes home to be with other people.
I don't want to lose Katie. You're still here, Katie. You tell us when you're going to leave, right?
Yeah.
We can talk about it later. That's fine.
Related to Katie and Iandom.
Well, it was kind of cool, you guys. It was here's
cool.
A guy who's watching a performance by Dylan, and he's always loved Dylan, and he's kind of upset by the fact that he's watching alone, because he's conscientious.
Yeah, we got that. How does it relate to Iandom and Katie? You said it has something to do with Iandom, so now make the connection.
Well, I was trying to think about Katie.
But say why this guy was upset? I mean, did he feel guilty? It's like Ion would say, you know, people talk about.
No, he had no one to share it with. He wanted to share it with somebody.
No, it was McLuhan that I was relating it to, but it was more that he was looking, he was in the audience and he was uncomfortable clapping because he was the only one there. And then he was uncomfortable because he didn't know how to react.
Okay. Relate this to Katie.
Well, we're talking about streams of people together who react to a certain genre. And there's a study with this Swedish film that shows that you react differently if you're a single person as opposed to a group.
How's that got to do with
Katie? That's what I'm trying to relate to.
What's that got to do with Katie? You'll tell Allison what to say. What, Allison? We have to listen to you for 5 minutes.
Thanks for trying, Carolyn. because Katie's talking about groups, and I was trying to interject the individual as opposed to the group and make it relevant.
Well, yeah, I'm asking you to make it relevant.
Because I think it's important to see that when somebody sits alone, it's very different when somebody sits in a group.
So, Katie, does this connect to your talking about how you hate, you're pretty sovereign now?
See, I think if Katie was there, she would have been so excited and extroverted, and it's all for me, and been happy, and I was, me too, I've been yelling, hey, call Dylan! Attaboy! So it depends on the individual. They had
is
an interview
true,
getting
yeah, okay.
there.
That's
oh, yeah.
Good study, Carolyn.
I can't make out what you're saying. I just read a review. He's terrible. He was terrible in New York for most of his concert, and then he finally did his last one. He was okay. But they had bodyguards running around bugging. His most important thing was that nobody could tape it.
Yeah.
It was ruining the New Yorkers' experience because these bodyguards were bashing into everybody who even looked like they were taping. It was horrible. But anyways, Katie, how does this relate? What can you get from Allison's whatever she's trying to say.
I'm comfortable both places. So I would say pre-Ion, I may have had a preference to enjoy a concert with a group of people because I would have needed to have them around me to make me feel comfortable and make me feel unselfconscious. But now I could go either way. Like I'd be comfortable either way.
So you're not like the guy in the little man in the study. He's all conflicted by his stupid experience. You know?
No, I'd be
I don't
fine.
Think any of us in Iandom, Bob, are like the little man in the study. That was the fun point.
If Brian was in the audience, it was for him, and Dylan started doing his religious songs, Brian would get so pissed off he'd walk out because he'd say, Dylan, you didn't fucking get it at all. And Brian would leave.
First of all, I said, Dylan, I don't like your shit. I think you fucking suck, man. Why can't we get somebody good in here to entertain me? This is bullshit.
Yeah, we know what Brian is.
I can play some Bestel Goodman for
me. Yeah, Dylan. Yeah, he'd ask Dylan to do some covers.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carolyn.
So, Katie, so you did all this stuff back then. What, Katie?
You
said, I don't feel like.
Oh, I don't feel like I'm in Iandom anymore. I feel like Iandom is in me, but I'm not in it anymore. And, like, last time you were going to take a break, I fell down the stairs and had a nervous breakdown. Now I'm like, oh, we got 3 weeks off. Whatever. That's in 3 weeks.
No. I'm playing music next week. Come in for the music, and we might talk occasionally.
Okay,
oh, you don't
that's
like,
very cool, Katie. No, that's
you know
really
what I'm saying.
Notable.
What's notable, Allison? What's notable?
That she said she's in, I'm not sure I'm going to say it right, she's in Iandom.
No, she's not in Iandom. Iandom's in her.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah. Yeah. That's
can
kind
you
of big.
Explain?
Well, you agree, Brian?
It's not my thing. It's Katie's gig. I don't agree or disagree. What I'm going to do is I'm going to question Katie's statement, and I'm going to say, so when you felt like you were in Iandom, what do you mean by that? You were in Iandom, like you were in a group, or explain to me what it means to be in Iandom.
That I was in a group and that I was vying for Bob time with and against the other Inettes and shared that feeling of wanting to be most of something. And Ian had mentioned maybe 6 or 8 weeks ago, all the Inettes want to be most.
What?
In a different way. I think I meant something.
Totally remember that. Sarah just said what, but I totally remember that. Yeah.
And I was so horrified by that, I identified with that and was grossed out by myself. So I decided in that moment to set down my most. And I remember at that particular time, Jean was doing a lot of, like, when I was talking, in-quicking Bob and telling him how boring I was, and in-quicking Bob and telling him that Ian was on the line and he needed to get rid of Katie because she was boring her to tears, and then often apologizing about that after. I have no hard feelings about that. And even there was a conversation once where Ian tried to doze me and said, see, Jean won.
Well,
she
Katie,
got you
I'm
on the phone so I could come in and talk. And I let go of all of that. Like, that was... Some of this was very conscious, but it was also a relief, kind of like when someone's like, you know, you've got mascara running all down your face, you look like shit, go wipe it off. Like, there was a lot of that sort of thing going on.
Uh-huh.
And it was just such a relief that once you see that, like, once you get a glimpse of that in the mirror and see how gross it is and how ugly it is and how much it doesn't serve, it really is a relief to set it down.
Partly why you were the all that time you're going through hell. Ian said you were the most ascended. You other fucking people are afraid to go through that. You're afraid to get your butt fucking ass beat up. You're afraid to engage with Ion. You're afraid to become the most hated Ionette. That's how you do it. You got to follow the Katie path. You got to get on here and, I don't know, compete, declare yourself. Everybody hate you, and then you react to that. And then you find out.
I totally get that, Bob. That is so true. And
that's not true entirely, though, because Roxy is more ascended, I'm sure, than I am, and she's beloved. She's never been hated. People adore her.
I'm just gonna see. I asked Greenbrow or Sandra, whoever it was, when the first time we was on, and she got offended, or I don't know what her deal was, but I asked her what her definition of ascended or ascension is, Because, mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's not a right or wrong answer. I'm just asking, mm-hmm. what does that mean to you? Because, see, now you and Allison are saying, oh, this one's ascended, more ascended than that one, and this one, and Rob. Okay, well, what is it, first of all, to you?
Being sovereign, knowing uh-huh. God. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I would say the same thing, being sovereign and knowing that you are the one who decides.